If it has a score, we cover it more. From football to lacrosse, hockey to baseball, we've got what you want. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Happy Football Friday. Welcome to your favorite sports show. The best damn sports show is on the air. And it's a special treat for everybody because we got John Frenzy, Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster, right here in the bunker with us. How are you, Frenzy?
I'm doing great, Rod.
All right. I love it.
Beautiful day in beautiful downtown Regina.
Isn't it nice?
Absolutely gorgeous. And it's nice here. It's fabulous.
I was leaving the house this morning and this lady said to me, my neighbor, she yells over, she goes, I hope you're going to enjoy this beautifully calm day today. Because it's been gale force winds here all summer and spring. And I said, actually, I'm going to be inside for most of the day, unfortunately. So you go enjoy it. We got the RP show on right now, and then the SJHL draft later on at 1 o'clock. Hence, the SJHL jacket. It's going to be a quick change right from here over to the soundstage to broadcast and host the SJHL draft. I'm excited about that. People are writing in. They said, Tyler Dacu, viewing already, says, I was shocked at Dupe's appearance at first. Darren, you've aged. Dupe's is over on the, he's on the apron. See you later, Paul.
Bye, Paul.
Paul's getting a very important phone call.
Paul's an important guy.
He's a mover and a shaker.
Darn what he is.
Paul had to take a call, so he's left. Adam Stewart checking in from Theodore, Saskatchewan. He says, good morning from the sprayer. Glad the wind died down.
Oh,
especially for a guy running a sprayer.
That's for sure.
Which my dad used to do, by the way. He was a crop duster. Did you ever know that?
No.
My dad flew a plane.
Did everything.
My dad did absolutely
but
everything.
I've never seen, now you haven't either, like winds of 80, 90, and 100 kilometers.
Never saw them? Yeah, saw them last week. I golfed in it.
How'd you do?
Terrible, but I always golf terrible, so it didn't matter. I still say it's better than rain. That was a Deer Valley.
Oh, my goodness.
We should have Dupes on the air. See, when are we going to get back to two chairs? Do we know? Monday? June 8th? Can you turn that off, Paul? Thank you. Paul's back.
Thank you guys so much.
We got a really big show for you today. I have not yet shared it, so I'm going to have to go on and share. Have you guys all shared it? Obviously, Paul has. John Frenzy here, Sportsnet's Arash Madani will be joining us to talk about CFL, NFL, racial unrest in America because he's had a lot of thoughts on that. We're looking forward to that chat. Mike Kelly, a longtime friend of ours and a big football name, two tours of duty with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. He was the quarterback's coach or offensive assistant with the NFL's Philadelphia Eagles in the Donovan McNabb era. He's going to be with us from Florida today. Morley Scott, the voice of the Edmonton Eskimos, and one of, if not the greatest Winnipeg Blue Bombers of all time, Milt Stegall, will be joining us. Hashtag paper plates from Atlanta, Georgia, now from the CFL on TSN. Lynch, while I'm going to get into the quick six show topics here that we always do, I'm going to let you take this over while I share the show to all my Facebook friends.
Of course.
So point one of our quick six show topics here in the rollout for Flooring Superstore. The Leader Post reporting that the Saskatchewan Roughriders lost $200,000 in the fiscal year of 2019. They've lost $200,000. You, as a member of the Old Boys Club, you might have put that together, actually. You're the founding member of it. What do you think of the Riders losing $200,000?
Don't know how they did it. Very surprised at that. They had some great years before that. It should have continued. I don't know what happened, how they could have lost $200,000. Unless it's they've given 400 away or 700 away to Montreal and Toronto. That's all I can think of because they had good attendance. They had good attendance last year. I mean, sloppiness, I guess. I don't know. Hard to figure.
Keep talking. I'm still sharing.
Yeah, well, I mean, up till then, the previous 3 years after we opened the stadium, great attendance, eh? Record attendance and things were going along great. Well, that's what I'm saying. Going along great. We're going to be absolutely fantastic this year. Paul Jones is getting some great players for us. We're going to have the Grey Cup here. It's going to be spectacular. Things have all come crashing down, but I think being where the kind of people we are in Saskatchewan, we'll just get up off the floor and get even tougher because historically that's what we've done. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Producer Clark is telling me in my ear, can you just pull the microphone in closer to you, Frenzy? I didn't think you actually needed a microphone, but Clark is telling me that you do. So here's my take as we just spent a little time on this because it is the Saskatchewan market. That's where the whopping majority of our viewers are. I don't have a tremendous amount of faith in the numbers at this time of year. Never have. Been covering this team since the 90s. It's a somewhat of a shell game, Lynch. You've got to agree with that.
Yeah.
So I don't believe everything that I hear. Never really have.
No.
But they did finish first place last year, which is pretty rare. This is only the third time since 1970 that it happened.
Ninth time in history.
Yeah. So the attendance revenue, the ticket revenue was slightly down. The merchandise sales was down. The sponsorships were up. Yeah. So thank you to the business community. But it didn't make a lot of sense to me. They finished first place, host the West Final. I guess the point is there was a time they made so much money that they could withstand transfer payments to other teams that need it, like they did with the Alouettes.
Yeah.
And obviously the money that they spent on the Grey Cup and then it being postponed is, like you say, and I will say, a kick in the junk. So $200,000 loss. Here's the scary thing. As we sit here on the precipice of whether there will be CFL football or not in 2020, and none of us know. Maybe you have some thoughts. We'll talk about that today. The Riders are considered the juggernaut of the CFL.
Yeah.
So if they are losing $200,000, what is everybody else doing across the CFL? And that was supposedly in a good year.
Yeah, supposedly in a good year. Boy, it's scary. This epidemic has really shook us up. We never dreamed something like that could happen in our lifetime, let alone what's happened to the Riders and sports in general. And this team is such a great football team, so well organized, really getting prepared for the Grey Cup this year. With a good football team, that's the part that bothers me. And to see what's happened, it's it can't happen, but it did. And
from our viewers, Carlos Lehena writes in and says, and this is before COVID-19 kicked
right
in.
Right on.
Someone from a burner account, Too Fast, says Riders report shows $600,000 to Montreal and $500,000 for Grey Cup, so not a real loss for the Riders. What are you talking about?
I don't know. How
that's like, we only lost by a goal, so it doesn't count. A loss is a loss, friend.
Yeah.
And as Jeff, the Stamps fan, writes in from Calgary, says, hard to square the $200,000 loss when Winnipeg made $3.5 million. They were sending the same transfer payments to the Montreal Alouettes.
And it's smaller crowds than we did.
Smaller crowds, and they went to the Grey Cup. There's actually a lot of added cost to that.
No kidding.
So it doesn't look good at all.
It doesn't make sense.
Not really a loss. Really. You know what? The 2009 Grey Cup wasn't really a loss. Because they were winning when there was no time left on the clock.
Yeah.
Think of it that way.
Yeah.
So we can kick that around and debate it for a while later on in the program. By the way, coming up, if you just joined us, Arash Madani, Mike Kelly. Looking forward to all these chats. Morley Scott and Milt Stegall. It's supposed to be Friday night football tonight, Frenzy. You must have known that.
Of course. Heartbroken. I mean, what do you know? You got to watch the NFL. That's all.
Well, there's no NFL on tonight.
Well,
you're saying you got to watch the NFL Network. That's what you're going to do.
NFL Network, yeah. And that's the football you got to watch, NFL Network. Is it good football? Of course, it's great football. But it's not the same. You know what happened. In most of those games, I know what happened. I'm not trying to be smart, but I know what happened. But still, it's football. But it's starting to get silly, boy, when the season rolls around in particular. And we're supposed to have a home game here next week. It's going to hurt, boy. It's going to really hurt. First time in my lifetime I have that football this time of year.
You're not dealing with it well, are you?
No, I'm not dealing with it because it's the first time in my lifetime. That's scary as hell.
Yeah. Trent in Norway's watching. Says, Norway calling. Will the new Alouettes ownership reimburse the other eight clubs?
No. What a one-word answer. How about a one-word answer?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking, but not a chance. Actually, Frenzy and I, we got to have a name for this show, Darren, where we put a GoPro up on the dash of my car, the windshield, and video Lynch and I driving up here. Because that's when the real conversations happen.
That's right.
And we were talking about revenue sharing in the CFL. You understand when the commissioner says they lost $10 to $20 million in a good year, there is no revenue to be shared. You understand that, right? Collectively.
Sure.
But... this is what ticks me off. And where a lot of Canadians are with funding the CFL. And look, we'll get to real football talk in a minute. But everything was rocking and rolling in Montreal. They were the franchise, the model franchise for 20 years. And then Bob Wettenhall retires to his yacht in Florida, off the coast of Florida, gives the keys to his son.
Yeah. That often happens.
Oh, yeah. He's the CEO, the child of existing owner. He's got a PhD. Papa has dough.
Pile high and deep.
Yeah, that too. So why should the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and Edmonton Eskimos have to pay for this kid's screw-ups? Tell me why.
He screws up, and they let him screw up and pay him out. They don't want it, but they get mad and figure, well, I guess we have to, otherwise we have no league. So Montreal's got him by the you-know-what. And that's too bad. I don't like that situation at all. Maybe we got to face the facts of life and just have a 6 or 7 team league. At one time we did, you know, that's all we had. And face it with the Western teams and Hamilton and Ottawa on the East. And it would be a pretty good league probably. I mean, it's continually, every year, hey?
Toronto, Lynch Montreal. Is saying lop off the country at Hamilton.
Right.
Forget everywhere east of Hamilton and that will be our CFL moving forward. Right. And you know what? You might not be wrong.
That's right.
I said that we would talk actual football here in a second. JR in Cranbrook says, CFL needs help, but they need to reach out to the host cities and provinces, not just the feds. You're going to get a backlash there, too, from the people that aren't CFL fans. This is where I see it going. You know what? My conversations over the last week with Hall of Famers, current CFL players, coaches, and front office types, this is where it's going. It's going to come down to the CFL fans to save this league. And it's going to come down to that fundraiser. If you love the CFL, step up and show it.
Yeah.
That's where it's going, folks. So just be prepared.
And react soon.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. The guys that I'm talking to are like, where is the urgency? Not just, obviously, Randy Ambrosi's working his can off.
Yeah.
It's the people around him. Where are these campaigns to save the CFL? But anyways... It's supposed to be Friday Night Football, so here's my question for you and for our viewers. Tonight, there's supposed to be 2 games, Winnipeg at Saskatchewan and Calgary at BC, okay? Not a doubleheader. They wouldn't both be televised, but there are 2 games tonight, Winnipeg at Saskatchewan, Calgary at BC. We're going to run a simulation just like we did last week, and don't ask, John, but it's a computer simulation of the game. We were hoping to broadcast that. It hasn't worked out. We got other things on the go, not the least of which is the SJHL draft today. But let me ask you this. Let's just pretend for a second. Lynch, are you okay with pretending?
Yes, I certainly am. I do a lot of that.
You do a lot of pretending? So if we went to Mosaic Stadium tonight, we had a tailgate party, right, Paul and Darren? We had our tailgate party at the Armory, selling a lot of beer, you know, eating great Bond burgers. Then we go over to the game. How much should Cody Fajardo play for the Riders tonight? How much should James Frank the Tank Franklin play tonight?
Yeah.
And what do you expect we'll see from Zach Caleros coming in for the Bombers' second and final preseason game? How much would you play the guys tonight at the quarterback position?
Fajardo, 1/4. Franklin, 1/4. The other 2 quarterbacks, the rest of the game. If I'm in Winnipeg, Fajardo, first half. And the other 2 after that. That's McGuire and a guy they say by the name of...
Sneed. Sneed.
Sneed, and there's a guy named D. Brown there, too.
Okay.
That I don't know who he is. I've been trying to check him out at Oklahoma. Nobody's down there, said D was ever there. I've got talked to some contacts I have. Nobody knows who he is. The write-up they have on him is fantastic, but I don't know who he is. So realistically, their backup quarterback is Scott McGuire, who's played a bit. Great college career at Illinois State. But hasn't played it down, really, for all intents and purposes. So, if anything happens to Caleros, the Bombers are in deep trouble.
Right.
Real trouble.
They know that. That's the gamble that they made by allowing Matt Nichols to walk.
Yep.
And let's just rewind back to when life was real good and we did not have a virus to worry about to this degree. Remember how much the Bombers agonized, or it seemed like they agonized, over signing Zach Caleros or Matt Nichols because they knew they couldn't keep both?
That's right.
So you're saying what again? How much should Zach Caleros play tonight for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers here?
1/2.
You should get a half?
Yep.
How about this in football speak? He'll get a half, and then he'll start the 3rd quarter. We'll give him 1 series and then sit him down.
Might.
That's what I could see happening. So I put it on Twitter. How much should the Rider quarterbacks play tonight? PT, as I pointed it. An avalanche of response from people. And from what I see, and then media from all across the CFL saying, how are you doing this? Are you broadcasting this? There is a significant appetite for people to see a computer generation. I know you don't get it. Or do you?
No.
Yeah. I didn't think. It's still hella fun. And for the most part, from what I saw, it was 50-50. Give Cody Fajardo the first half. Give Frank the Tank the second half. Here's what I would say. Don't play Cody Fajardo at all. Even though he was 4 of 10 with a pick last week in the preseason in Calgary. Did you know that?
No.
It was just on the computer. I wouldn't play him at all. It's fun to talk about real football, isn't it?
Yeah,
even if it's
great.
Not real.
It's great.
But I remember this. My very first ever broadcast in the Canadian Football League was a preseason game, 1999, Saskatchewan Roughriders at the Edmonton Eskimos, and Cal Murphy was the Riders head coach. Cantankerous Cal, whose bark was far worse than his bite. Would you not agree?
No question about that.
Right. So here's me, a hockey guy, thrown into the deep end, not knowing crap from Shinola, and I asked, can I get the starting lineup at the very least? Oh, I don't think so. Is this neck shook, you know? Sometime overnight, this piece of paper was slid under my door in the hotel with not just the starters, but the quarter-by-quarter rotation of all numbers.
Really?
That's how much Cal wanted to help me out.
That's Cal.
As a young, yes, that's Cal for you.
I mean, he always said to me, Lynch, how are you? You look like $1 million. All green and wrinkled.
That's love, eh? That's love from Cal Murphy.
And he always said, Lynch, I think you got a long ways to go, but you should start right now.
He was a treasure.
Oh, he was.
Absolute treasure. And by the way, got into the game. I mean, if you're ever know, I mean, just go to a CFL preseason game one. It's hard to follow with all the players. Do you think they stuck to that script of who played when?
No.
Not even close.
Not at all.
That was my first introduction to how things work in the CFL preseason. So Wayne in Victoria says, I'm starting to miss CFL football with your talk of the simulation. I get, were we supposed to not talk about it at all? I mean, that's, we're trying to give you something to enjoy. That's all. Because it's not up to us whether this league's going to play or when. Jeff, the Stamps fan, says Cody has to play. Maybe he does. That's your opinion. Am I welcome to mine?
Yes.
Because they're trying to figure out who the third string quarterback will be behind James Franklin and Cody Fajardo. So that's where I think the battle is. They already know Cody's the guy. What are you playing him for tonight? Don't worry about it. Sit him down.
Huckaluck movements. We'll see.
The other thing. Oh, here's Nelson. Who's going to actually do the simulation for me tonight? He says it's a home preseason game that people want to see Cody for at least a half. Oh, that's a great idea. Let's let the fans decide how to run the team. That's always worked great. I'd say he has some COVID rust on him and needs a half of football to get it rolling. I'm teasing him, of course.
Yeah.
But see, we've ignited a quarterback controversy in a preseason computer simulation.
That way, I got to look at
that. Is amazing.
It is, and I also got an answer as to who Drew Brown was. How about that, eh? Oklahoma State's backup the last 2 years. Well, maybe.
Katie's watching. She says, this helps. I look forward to taking Skyler to another Riders game. Dean Barton says, the next best thing to Rider football is frenzy, talking about anything.
Oh, Deanie boy, how are you?
I couldn't agree more. Jeff Reinbold says to say hi, by the way, Lynch.
Yeah,
he said he particularly enjoys Football Fridays with you.
I love him.
We got hung up on the first 2 points, and that's fine because it is a Football Friday. But point three of the quick six show topics here. We'll get through them real quick and then take a break and come back with a rash. NBA's coming back. They voted. They agreed. The owners and players yesterday, 29-1 was the vote. The Trailblazers were the only team that didn't agree to come back and play. And that's fine because I don't think they're going to be playing anyways. July 31st, the NBA will come back, finish their regular season, and start the playoffs. Point four, ESPN's Max Kellerman comments on the NHL yesterday saying nobody cares about the NHL in the United States. Do you know who Max Kellerman is, Lynch?
Nope.
Exactly. Point five, Major League Baseball emphatically rejecting the owner's offer. Our poll question today is, if there's no MLB in 2020, will you miss it? Last I looked, for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center, the vote on Twitter was around 50-50. Do you guys have the Facebook vote results? You don't got to throw there. Oh, can you zoom in? 70% say not really. Put me in the not really. I got an SJHL draft to worry about today. I've spent all week talking to scouts and GMs, parents and players for hockey. Obviously, I'd miss the CFL. I wouldn't really miss Major League Baseball. So you guys better get it figured out. And point six was the SJHL draft today. We'll talk about that a little later on. Yesterday's rock star of the day, by the way, was Rich Sutter. The poll winner yesterday for how much money would you contribute to a CFL aid fundraiser, GoFundMe. It was the leading vote was $1 to $100. How generous of you. One game ticket. Here's the thing. The CFL needs a lot of money to survive,
right?
Because their business model's gotten so big that just any old fundraiser isn't going to help. They need a lot of money.
That's right.
And so the problem is they don't have a lot of money. That's the number one problem in a nutshell with the CFL.
That's right.
Arash Madani coming up. Mike Kelly, Morley Scott, and Milt Siegel. It's the Rod Peterson Show's Football Friday. Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to change the way we do business.
Because it's time to focus on staying safe and healthy.
At Capital Ford, we've taken steps to help customers with buying, selling, and servicing vehicles.
It's time to shop online, test drive at home, and let us know when you need servicing.
We'll pick up your vehicle and return it to you when it's fixed at no extra charge.
It's time to serve our community.
It's time to flatten the curve.
Join us online at capitalfordlincoln.com.
Stay safe.
Be kind to each other.
And wash your hands.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website, IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
To the 16 guys who never back down, and to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram.
I still haven't
Time
got it.
Time for more of
ever
the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Football Friday continues. Yeah, it's just a typical Friday. Lynch, I did ask for it. You're right. We have breaking news today, and I think Justin Dunk broke the story at 3downnation.com. The voice of the CFL, Chris Cuthbert, has left TSN for Sportsnet. Cuthbert joined TSN in June 05 as play-by-play announcer for the CFL on TSN. He called 16 Grey Cups while at TSN. His last, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers triumph in November of 2019. Goes on through the whole story here. But maybe our next guest can shed a little light on this as Arash Madani joins us from Rogers Sportsnet. Good morning, Arash, or to you, good afternoon. The rich get richer. Are you aware of the news today of Cuthbert coming to Sportsnet?
I just saw it about 10 minutes ago myself, Rod. So I've worked with Chris in my CFL days and thrilled that he's going to be a teammate now. Probably the best game caller in the country, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt. So have you been, has it been a flurry of text messages? Do you have any inside info on this, how this came about or what he's going to do? Or we'll just wait for that story to unfold?
do have to wait for. I mean, a lot of people are texting me saying, wow, you know, et cetera. I'm sure just like they're doing you. But in the business of insiders, I think this one caught everybody by surprise.
Did, yeah. That's,
which is way, right?
Yeah, is that not ironic? And I want to thank Seattle head scout Cal Filson for sending that to me, too. Thanks, Cal. Always watches. So, yeah, we'll follow that story. Arash, where do you want to start this morning? Because we got a lot of things to unpack.
Well, I saw that you're having Stiegel on. Milton and I worked together in 2008, and it's interesting because that season, he and I don't know if he remembers this. I would. He's probably had many conversations, but he and I in the locker room on a couple of occasions had conversations about race. And I remember the night, I was there for just one season in Winnipeg, and in 2008, that November night when Barack Obama won that election, just seeing that happen in his speech and texting Milt just saying, this is an amazing night, it's a historic night, this is an incredible night. And I remember Milton's reply, it certainly is. I always thought, Rod, that like Magic Johnson, there were, you know, people say there's an Irvin and then there's Magic. And Magic's the public persona and the smile and the personality, but Irvin's, you know, who some other people get to know. I always refer to 85, I always refer to Stiegel as Milton. Because I feel there was a public persona of Milt, and then there was a much quieter, much more introspective person behind that public persona, and that was always Milton.
Which he freely admits that it's an act on television, or even when he was playing, right? Which I think is totally cool. Yeah. If you ask him, he'll tell you, yeah, it's just a show, right? Which is great.
He was never a brand before being a brand was on Vogue.
Exactly. The man who once said it's a shame he has to wear a mask because he's so beautiful. It shouldn't be blocked on television. Arash, regarding racial unrest in America, you've had I always enjoy your Twitter feed, but this week you've been particularly eloquent. And I'm wondering, is this because of your own history dealing with racism in this country? And I know you lived in America for a time. Or is it just complete empathy for what they go through in the States?
I tell you what, Rod, growing up as a kid, Martin Luther King was one of my heroes, and I did a bunch of school projects on him. And I just pulled this out of the bookcase. I just finished reading this book, Kennedy and King. It's about the civil rights movement and how the president and, you know, president, the pastor, and the battle over civil rights. And what I so appreciated about Dr. King as a kid is that he believed in equality. He believed in civil rights. He believed in nonviolence. And he just never understood. I never understood as a kid, sorry, why this was even an issue. You know, I grew up in a small town in Nova Scotia where we had, where I grew up with people from so many different socioeconomic backgrounds and so many different cultural backgrounds. And as a kid, like when I'm, you know, in grades 2, 3, 4, and 5, none of that really mattered. Nobody cared. It was never an issue, and I could never understand why it was an issue in society among the adults and the grown-ups and those who are supposed to know better. And the comedian Dennis Leary has a great line. He said, you know, when babies are born, they don't hate anything other than naps. Babies hate naps. They don't hate anything else. So hate is a learned behavior. And the irony is, here I am, a middle-aged man. And Roddy, the one thing I love more than anything else is having a good nap. So I can't get that anymore in adulthood. But all you crave for is just for all of us. You know, what was Dr. King's dream was that his children would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. His dream was that little black boys and little black girls would be able to hold hands and march with little white boys and little white girls. And it's just amazing to see here we are in 2020, 5+ decades later, 6+ decades after Rosa Parks didn't give up her seat that caused the Montgomery, Alabama bus boycott, and here we are.
I know. Well, I wonder if it will ever change. I could talk about this all day. I'm not sure the viewers want to watch it all day, but this is what I think. I don't think it's going to change, not anytime soon, because you need to want to change. I mean, you can look inside your own home. That would be a nice place to start. But to tell other people how to act, as my mom would say, it's like pissing into the wind.
I think it's about just having uncomfortable conversations and just being willing to listen to hear other people's perspectives. And what do we do? What do you do on a daily basis, Rod?
Give opinion.
You have sports conversations and sports debates where a fan of the Riders will say, my team is better than your team. And a fan of the Bombers will say, well, hold on. This is why I think my team is better than yours. And you hope that out of the conversation, in addition to some laughs, in addition to some things that make you mad and some things that make you angry, you'll also think a little bit and you say, you know what? That's a really good point. I hadn't thought that maybe Andrew Harris being suspended for 2 games may end up benefiting the Bombers, because that'll give him 2 weeks of rest. It'll give him 2 weeks to rest the body and be a little more fresh going into the playoffs. Well, that's the conversation here is about equality, and the conversation here is about having the uncomfortable conversation. And I think back to what Dr. King said in 1963, and he said that his biggest disappointment, he called it his grave disappointment, was with the white moderate. He said it wasn't about the Ku Klux Klaner, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than justice, who says, the white moderate who says, I agree with you in the goal that you seek, but I do not agree, I cannot agree with your methods of direct action. Well, isn't that what Kaepernick was? And trying to blur it, that it's about the flag and it's about the military, it was never about that. Colin Kaepernick's point is there is systemic racism among police in our country. Let's talk about this. And there was a disdain towards Colin Kaepernick. How dare he bring it up peacefully during a football game? And that move by Kaepernick that led to LeBron and Kobe wearing the I Can't Breathe t-shirts and so many players, so many athletes, and not just athletes of color, the Chris Longs of the world speaking out. Let's have these conversations in our own living rooms whenever we get to do it. Let's have them on our Zoom conversations when we're having a happy hour cocktail together. Let's just talk, but also most importantly, Rod, let's just listen. Let's just listen, try and gain a perspective, try and gain an understanding that we may not have. And I don't think anybody is going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to tell a Rider fan you should be a fan of another team or fan of another player. But what I will tell you is that these are the qualities that the other player has. These are the perspectives that another coach has about how they think they can go and compete against the Riders. And the more you listen to other people's perspectives, the more of a bigger understanding you're going to have among the bigger picture.
No doubt. And I agree on all those things. But you are one of few friends of mine that you and I don't agree on all issues, but it never comes between us. And another guy like that with me is Craig Dickinson. You know, it's we'll agree to disagree and then put our arm around each other and go have a coffee. That, you know, that's a friendship, you know.
Sure.
Can I go?
Here's what happens, Rob. When you and I have those conversations, I listen to some of the things you say, and I take that perspective, and I'm like, you know what? That makes sense. And I think about it, and you do the same. And that's why we're able to agree and disagree. Sometimes we come to a consensus, sometimes we don't. You know, you may say, hey, let's talk about topics A, B, and C today. I say, okay, I like B. Yeah, C sounds good. Why don't we talk about topic F too? And we come together and we figure something out. And we do that because we have a respect amongst one another and we want what's best. And as long as we're going towards the common goal, and that's the key here. Do we want that common goal? That'd be great.
Ellen DeGeneres said it about George W. Bush. Same thing. We don't have to always agree. We can still be friends. Do you have a sports question, Lynch?
I sure do, Rash. Good to see you again.
frenzy in the house.
He is.
The CFL, very critical situation. Where do you see it right now? I mean, I think it's going to be very unbelievable July to see what happens in the future of this football league.
Well, John, I think it has to happen before July. And I'm just going to backdate things for you because, you know, we're sitting here. I've lost track of what day it is. Welcome to the pandemic.
We do that all the time.
Right, sure. So they're saying effectively, let's start 3 months from today, right? Give or take early September, say September 5th.
Yep.
So you think to yourself, well, we have a lot of time, you know, 3 months. Let's get it going. So if they're going to play September 5th, September 1st, September 8th, whatever, we're talking about getting on the field for a training camp, a modified training camp, a shortened training camp. What do you think, John? August 12th, August 15th, something like that?
Yep, right.
You probably play one exhibition game, if at all, and then 1 week to prepare for week one of the season.
Right.
So that would mean with quarantine, you would need to have players, coaches. Don't forget a lot. There are still head coaches and assistant coaches in the United States. You need them in the country the last week of July. Okay, so that means they have to fly in the last week of July. As of today, June 5th, and they're talking about this hub model pretty much exclusively, you have not booked a plane ticket, you have not booked hotels, you have not booked your cafeteria and food situation for players, you have not booked fields, you have not moved your facilities over to one of Regina or Winnipeg. Nothing has happened yet. Logistically, this, you know, when the Riders, for instance, finished training camp at the U of S, the last week of camp in Saskatoon, they actually sit down with the officials at the university then and start the planning for next year's training camp then. That's how we did it in Ottawa when we went to Kempville College. That's how a lot of teams, NFL, CFL, do it. They're working a year in advance. So how much time is required to get work permits? How much time is required to get your facility over? How much time is required to make all of this happen? A lot of people I talk to say by mid-June or late June, we need to know just logistically to make this thing happen, then book everything, then get everything sorted, to say nothing of we need to get our athletes north of the border. I would suspect the absolute latest drop-dead date, and it'd be a mad scramble just to get everything ready for late July. I would say the absolute drop-dead date for the CFL is the first week of July, but in reality, it has to happen in the next couple of weeks that they come to a decision on what they're going to do. And from the conversations I've had with people, you know, every model that the CFL has with the CFL Players Association, the collective bargaining agreement is based on an 18-game model. To figure out all the details with the players, to figure out financially if this is going to work with your owners and governors, they're not there yet. And time's ticking. Yeah, it's 3 months from potentially opening day. But really, your drop-dead date, I think in a best-case scenario, fellas, is 1 month from now. But in reality, it's even sooner.
Well, John, I can't okay. Because we got Mike Kelly coming on in minutes from Florida on this Bomber Friday. And we have a question from a viewer, Arash. It's Brady in Saskatoon wants to know your take on the Raptors' chances of winning a back-to-back title here since they're resuming July 31st in Orlando.
Brady, I don't know, because I don't know what the 15 Raptors, what they've been up to in isolation. I don't know if they've gotten quality gym time. I mean, this is going to be unlike anything. You're asking guys to get together for a couple of weeks, play 8 regular season games, get together, and then go right into the playoffs. This is unlike anything we've ever seen. There's no precedent for it. You don't know. Can you just, you know, these are athletes. These are human beings. It's not like you can just put the car in the garage, come out, you know, hit the starter and go. how long will it take? How quickly can they come together? I think in the Raptors' advantage in their favor is the fact that there's a lot of continuity. Those guys know each other. They have playoff experience. They've been through it before. But I just wonder how many groin injuries are we going to have? How many hamstring injuries are we going to have? Because for 3 months, they haven't been competing 48 minutes at a high level. I think this NBA playoffs, I think the NHL playoffs, if the CFL plays, literally will be the survival of the fittest.
No kidding. And impossible to predict. Arash, thanks for the time. Enjoy the weekend, of course, and we'll catch up with you soon. I appreciate it.
You got to give my best to Mike and especially to Milton.
You betcha. It's going to be a blast. Thanks, Arash.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
All right. The what should I call him? Oh, Mike Kelly.
He's brilliant.
They're all brilliant. The loquacious, the veteran, Mike Kelly, joining us from Florida coming up after the break. And I will get to the sports update that I haven't got to yet either. Before the top of the hour, it's episode 249. Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show continues after this pause on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top-quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Friday morning. Sports update just ahead of Mike Kelly joining us from Florida. Drew Brees realizes he'd fallen out of touch. His contemporaries drove that home when they hammered him this week for repeating his opposition for kneeling for the U.S. national anthem. In the wake of the police killing of George Floyd, Brees repeated his opposition to the movement, and the biting backlash that followed prompted the Saints star quarterback to issue a public apology Thursday on Instagram, in which he acknowledged he totally missed the mark. That came after he apologized to his teammates. Canadian golfer Maddie Zurich had a tough ending at the Texas Women's Open. Zurich from London, Ontario, shot a 5-over-76 on Thursday in the final round of the 54-hole event, dropping her from 4th all the way to 16th spot at 2-over-par. The Northern Texas PGA conducted the $50,000 tournament with no spectators due to the pandemic. The LPGA wants to resume play July 23rd to the 26th with the Marathon Classic in Ohio. The 23-year-old Zurich, again, she's from London, Ontario, was 19th on the money list heading into this Symetra rookie campaign. The top 10 on that tour will earn LPGA cards. And baseball players reaffirmed their stance for full prorated pay, leaving a huge gap with teams that could scuttle plans to start the coronavirus delayed season around the 4th of July and may leave owners focusing on a schedule as short as 50 games. There's a very good chance there will be no Major League Baseball at all in 2020. That is our poll question today. I'll get to that in a minute. But this sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. Their kitchen's open, awaiting your order. Call 761-2777 for their hours or visit their Facebook page for their menu. Open to 50% capacity come Monday. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. And the poll question for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center is, if there is no Major League Baseball in 2020, will you miss it? Roughly 70% of the vote saying no. Where are you voting on that, Lynch?
No, I won't.
You wouldn't miss it.
I hardly watch it.
SJHL draft today at 1 p.m. I'll be hosting it live on Sastel Max TV. Dupes will be joining me. And there was supposed to be two CFL preseason games tonight, Winnipeg at Saskatchewan and Calgary at BC. Why I'm reminding you, I don't know. But we'll be running a computer simulation of the Bombers-Riders game, and it's got people excited. Do we have Mike Kelly ready, guys? Awesome. Let's go to the Sunshine State now, and I got to tell you, Coach Kelly, John Frenzy here, Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster, says, you got to introduce me to Mike Kelly. I've never met Mike Kelly before.
Yes, I have, Mike. How are you doing?
Now that he sees your face, you guys have met. That sounds right.
10 years ago, 15 years ago in Winnipeg. Yeah.
How are you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great. You know, it's quite amazing that that tonight would have been a game with the Bombers because my first game in the CFL was in 1992 in Taylor Field.
And,
and we had a huge lightning storm. Never saw lightning like that in my life. And the power went out in the stadium. And we had to go back in the locker room and wait about an hour.
Oh, they're coming back on me. Are we going to get him on the phone, Clark? It would be a shame if we couldn't see Coach Kelly. Oh, okay. Coach, they tell me that you're good again. You said you had to go into the locker room for an hour. Continue.
Yeah, we went to the locker room for an hour and then came back out, finished the rest of the preseason game. And some of my greatest CFL memories happened in Taylor Field. I just... It would be Kelly Green right now because I know I'm talking to people in Saskatchewan, so I'm not dumb. And I wear this shirt when I travel from Winnipeg to Calgary. I put it on in Brandon, make sure I get gas in Moose Jaw, and then I take it off when I get to Medicine Hat.
Smart. You are a smart guy. And by the way, for the viewers that don't know, Mike Kelly, two tours with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, with the Eagles in between, offensive assistant and quarterbacks coach, back to the CFL with the Edmonton Eskimos and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers coaches, San Francisco State, from Waterbury, Connecticut originally. And I got to say this, Coach, I know you're watching the CFL real closely down there in Florida. With all these weather delays that even the NFL's had them where they pause the games now and they don't pick them up, they made you guys playing some pretty wild stuff back in the day. You know, the game really has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I always go back to the 94 Eastern Division final against Baltimore, and it was about minus 30, and it felt like your face was getting sandblasted, but it was little tiny. And that, to me, that was the greatest football game I still have ever been in, even though the Bombers, we lost 14-12. Had Matt Dunnigan's pass not hit the crossbar to Gerald Wilcox, who was wide open on the play, we'd have gone up 19-7, and we'd have gone to our third Grey Cup in a row and fourth in 5 years. And, but yeah, we've played in crazy weather. I saw Doug Flutie's hands so cold that he couldn't take a snap from the shotgun or underneath the center. So, Minnesota, I watched the Vikings play now. They're supposed to play in muck and dirt and mud and snow. You don't play indoors. I like it outside.
There are varying opinions on that, as you know. It actually surprises me as an offensive guy that you wouldn't want pristine conditions.
Well, I think it, you see all these passing records now. And I'm not taking anything anything away from any of his career indoors or Drew Brees indoors. I just think it takes a special person. And all you got to do is talk to, you know, back in the day when I would spend time learning from Ronnie Lancaster, talking about what, you know, they used to do to prepare themselves to play in that type of conditions. And Hugh Campbell telling me about, you know, catching buckets of balls that were soaked in water. You know, it adds to the element of the game. It used to be a pristine game. You know, if you want to play a pristine game, wear shorts and dance around in sneakers on a wood floor. You know, football's not that way.
Mike, John Lynch here. What about football this year? I mean, there's a lot of concerns when the NFL is going to play, when the CFL is going to play. I've never seen anything like this. Have you?
No, I don't think any of us have. My concern is that as soon as a locker room gets infected, it's a game, you know, and that's what I'm afraid of. But I certainly understand that tremendous precautions will be made. I'd love to see some form of a modified season. We can absolutely not lose the CFL. It's in the fabric of our country. And I say our because I spend so much time still in Winnipeg, and I had two daughters born in Winnipeg. And, you know, I have, you know, some of my closest friends, and, we can't lose it. We can't. We have to find a way to make it survive. I think maybe, you know, there's several different ways you can go, and looking at a revised business, you know, structure, you know, there's got to be answers. You know, a different way of handling the salary management system. There are answers there, and there's smart people that are looking at. Fan, and I really hope that that some sensibility will come, but we can't lose the Canadian Football League. It absolutely cannot happen. By some measure, we have to make it survive. And if I could be a part of the discussion, I'd love to be.
Oh, good. Then I'll call you after, because there is a groundswell being mounted, but we just don't really know where we are right now. You mentioned the salaries. John Ohm is watching in Winnipeg, and he says, he asked you, could you ever envision an XFL-type salary structure in the CFL, just with fixed, finite amounts per player so you know your costs?
Well, you know, when I took over the Bombers, when we had that change, and, you know, we were almost $400,000 over the salary cap. And when the season ended, we only ended up with $40,000 over the cap. Now, we still went over, so they got fined, and but we cut $360,000 out during doing it. It took a lot of help with some really smart people along the line, with, you know, Lyle Bauer and John Murphy and Ross Hodgkinson, and we got it done. But I've always put value on certain positions, and I do think that if a model was at least explored where a set salary was paid per game, I think it makes more sense for the CFL myself. And an example would be that of maybe $12,000 a game. You play the positional players $7,500 to $8,000 a game, and the kickers get $6,500 to $7,000. And it's across the board. Then you know what your costs are. You know, you have a practice squad, you know, with a set amount that they'll make per week. And I just think that it would save a lot of the headaches that the CFL perhaps inflicts on themselves.
Well, here's a question for you that is a big topic up here, and nobody can really agree on it. Revenues are plummeting, obviously, so salaries may not be what they even are now in the CFL, let alone the big leagues. Will we have as many American players willing to come up here? Because it's not a lot now for an American rookie, as you know. How badly do these guys want to play? Like, if the salaries do go down in the CFL, and I think that they will, what does that do to the American player coming up here?
I think there's such a desire to continue to play the game, with that hope. Most of those kids have the hope of, a U.S. player, most of them have the hope of eventually playing in the National Football League. And that's a wonderful thing. And a lot of them have, the motive of making generational money, for their family. And I get all that. But guys want to continue to play. And a lot of involved with the Canadian Football League, we find out, holy smokes, this quality of life is just outstanding. And I wish more guys embraced it in the manner of a Matt Dunnigan did by living full time up there and really getting interwoven with the community and understanding, the culture. And it's such a wonderful place to live. And guys would find out that their dollar goes a whole lot farther and just settle in there and be a part of the community. And one of the things that I tried to basically reinstate in 2009 in Winnipeg is that I was encouraging players to stay there and trying to talk to board members about hiring our players in the off season so that we could entice guys to come up and say, hey, look, you're going to make, let's just say, $60,000 playing football. You are an accounting major, and we've got a position for you in the off season at a local accounting firm here where you're going to make another $50,000. So now it's a $110,000 package. Stay up here, make a six-figure life for yourselves, and really get interwoven with the community. And I still believe in that. I don't think it's a ridiculous notion.
You're right, and that's what the CFL was built on. We've gotten, for whatever reason, away from that, and it needs to come back to that. That's why CFL 3.0
right.
Will look a lot more like it used to look, I think, than what it is now. Producer Clark and I both have the same question for you, Coach Kelly. What's your best Donovan McNabb story?
That's a good one. I see that picture right there. That's right.
Go full screen, guys.
Here.
We got it.
Go.
Okay.
All right. That's me and Donovan.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So I think my bet. Yeah. Right above my head there.
Okay.
There you go. So anyway. Yeah. All right. So, Donovan breaks his ankle against I believe it was the Cardinals. And, Donovan's a big man. He's thick. And on Thursdays, it was the rookies had to bring in boxes and boxes of hot Krispy Kreme. And Donovan was putting Krispy Kremes on his fingers like a ring and would eat the donut. Well, we got him on the scale, and I think he weighed like 253, 263, somewhere in there. And they were like, nope, no more donuts for you. So the next Thursday that rolled around, the rookies are bringing in all these boxes of hot Krispy Kreme donuts. And here comes Donovan, and he's got a bowl of fruit feet, like he's going back to his prison cell. He's like, oh. And so everybody's just all over him about they're eating donuts and he's got to eat fruit. he was an awful lot of fun. Coming into my office, before meetings and wanting to take a quick look at, everything that was going to be installed that day. So he had a precursor to what was going to go in, because the amount of information came with was astronomical, and the retention that those players have to have in order to get through a game, because Andy Reid believes that every single play stands on its own merit. And so once you run a play, if we ran a play 8 to 12 times in the course of a season that had the same personnel, same blocking scheme, same pattern attached to it, that was a lot. Most of the time, it was one and done. It was gone. You never saw it again.
I got to ask you, just as the video unfreezes there, it's going good. Rider fans, I love them, but I see how they're annoying to everybody else across the country. Eagles fans, highly annoying. Do you see a similarity between the two?
No. 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 Philadelphia is vicious. I was with the Redskins. You've got to get your silent count tuned up this week. And Steve was like, coach, we played in the snake pit. We played in Death Valley. You know, there it won't be any louder. Well, as I said, these are different fans. It's a different deal. And so as the bus is pulling into Lincoln Financial, there are thousands of fathers that are waving to their sons, come with me, and they all start putting up their middle. I'm talking thousands. And I was sitting right behind Coach Spurrier, and he turns around, he looks at me and goes, well, I'll be damned. And we proceeded to just get our hats handed to us. And you know, he had a different appreciation for an Eagles fan at that point, because they really get on you. Now, you know, some of my best, you know, memories are in Taylor Field. And in 2009, beat in the entire league in 2009 was the Rough Riders. And they were just better than us in the trenches. That's really what it came down to. The Riders were really tough in 2009 in the trenches. And so I'm sitting on the bench in Taylor Field with Cal Murphy before the game. And we're talking about how great it is to play there. And he says, you should run out on the field with one of those watermelon helmets on. And I said, absolutely. That would be fun. They're allowed to have fun anymore in pro sports. They're just not allowed because they'll get destroyed on social media. And, you know, I get that as well as anybody. But let's, you know, let's not take ourselves too seriously. And I was going to write, I love you, Mike Kelly, on it. And then as I ran out onto the field, I was going to throw it up in the stands behind our bench and just let the whole stadium lose their minds. Let's all have some fun doing this. Well, somebody got that we – so – Cal sent somebody to get sitting on my chair because Taylor Field was so plush for the visiting locker room at those days. You know, it was a real privilege to hang my clothes up on a 16-penny nail. And so they put that plastic helmet on a chair, and I knew it was there, and I was going to sign it and run out. And after I addressed the team, I came back, and the helmet was gone. So somebody thought that wouldn't be any fun, and exploded, and we would have added to the fun of the whole thing of Labor Day and Banjo Bowl and just another thing to, you know, enjoy.
I think I saw a picture of you somewhere in that lid. I'm going to try and find it. I do believe you had it on your head, and a photo exists. By the way, the 2009 Riders, I think, is the greatest Rider team of all time, but they did not win a Grey Cup. By the way, all the viewers writing in, Wayne in Victoria says, what I love about this show is getting to see the guys' real personalities. Pat in Winnipeg, Pat McKetta says, I'm loving your interview with Coach Kelly. And I'll end it with this, because we're going to bring you on again real soon, because I haven't even got into what I wanted to talk about with you, Coach. Was the media just seeing the clips on TSN of you when you coached the Bombers? I'm like, this guy's a monster. And then we spent that night together at that football fundraiser in Winnipeg, remember, with the sports doctor and Blackie and those guys?
Right.
That's where you and I became friends. I'm like, he's nothing like what TSN's portraying him to be, which really I thought was unfair. But it's been great to catch up since, Coach, and that's what's great about this show.
Well, you know, I'm a fan of you, and I'm a fan of people who, you know, I don't care how you get knocked down. I care about how you get back up. And that's where my affinity comes from. And I really, you know, love seeing what this show is doing and how it's growing. And I enjoy it nearly every single day. I don't know if you can tell that I'm on here, but, you know, I'm on quite, you know, that whole thing in 2009, you know, with the media, I got a few people out of their comfort zone. And that's really what it came down to. And, I know we were supposed to talk about balance here today and everything. But I'll kind of tie the whole thing in together for us here, if you could give me a couple of minutes. One is, I think the CFL is the greatest work environment that a coach could ever have. It gives, and a lot of my problems are self-imposed. I know that. And my drive and where I wanted to be and the type of success I want to have. But when I was the head coach of the Bombers, both of my daughters were playing high school basketball outside of Philadelphia. And so when I would go to the game, two of the five girls on the floor were mine. And when I would be back there, they would stay with me for an extended weekend. And so one night the phone rings and, you know, we're on Eastern time. It's 10:30 at night. And I end up doing an hour long phone interview. Now I know I talk way too much. I get it. All right. But the questions kept coming and I kept answering them. When I got off the phone, the girl said to me, "Dad, is this what it's going to be now? Like every time that you're home, we're going to be sitting here watching TV and you're going to be on the phone." And I said, "No." Go the media relations director of the Philadelphia Eagles. And I said, "I know damn well that Andy Reid is not taking calls at home at 10:30 at night. What's your policy?" And so he laid it all out to me. Then I called Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers at the time. And I said, "What's your media policy?" And he laid it all out to me. And then that was the media policy that I imposed with the Bombers. And so it wasn't like it was some ridiculous restriction than what I wanted. But it got some people out of their comfort zone. And, you know, the rest is history. It's over and it's done with. I still consider it, you know, one of my greatest privileges in life that I got to be the head coach of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And regardless of any of the outside stuff, I know what we were doing inside the building was correct. We still had a couple of more things to get done, and we had plans to do that. But that is the greatest honor of my life, and no one can ever take that away from me. And how I was portrayed is how I was portrayed. But like Lyle Bauer used to say, you poke the bear too many times, sooner or later he's going to growl at you. And, you know, I took the bait a little bit.
Well, here's an honor. Joe Lazito's watching in Long Island. He says, "Oh boy, Coach Kelly's going to give Frenzy a run for his money for rock star of the day." Watching from New York today. And I think it's Roger Inglis. He says, "Been the same guy I have known since he was 22. I don't know if it's Roger Ingles or Inglis. I think you say it Inglis. But you fan. Pardon?
It's Ingles.
It's Ingles? Okay. I've heard
Roger.
It.
Yeah. Roger and I had our first coaching jobs together in 1980 at Ridgedale High School in Marion County, Ohio. And then in 1986, he recommended me to be the offensive coordinator at Ohio Wesleyan University, and he was the head baseball coach. And then he's been a lifelong friend. You know, I've known him now basically my entire adult life, and he's had a wonderful career himself as a head college baseball coach at Ohio Wesleyan and an athletic director at Wesleyan and Capital University. And if anybody knows me, Roger would be one of the guys.
Okay. Well, Coach, not surprised. We are 10 minutes over time, so we better roll. But
yeah,
next time, we'll hey, it's good. It's good. We'll have that balance. And it's me too. But we'll have that balanced discussion next time, next month. All right. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for all of this, and stay cool down there in Florida.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, we got 20 inches of rain in the last 10 days here. It's been crazy. And send my best to Milt Stegall. I was his first coach, and of course Arash left me right as I got the job in Winnipeg. I would have loved to have his, you know, demeanor and experience there in 2000. But yeah, Milt's special to me because I got to coach him his first 2 years in the CFL.
All right, Coach. Stay safe down there.
Okay. All right. See everybody later.
Coach Mike Kelly joining us, and the first, I'm hoping, of many visits.
What he said about the CFL having to save it, I mean, that was just great, eh?
We got to rack that, save that clip. It absolutely can't die. Yeah. You're right. Frenzy, we got a break for hour two. Thanks for all this.
Okay, been a pleasure again.
You betcha.
Okay, buddy.
Morley Scott, Milt Stegall in hour two. We'll be right back. It's Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to change the way we do business.
Because it's time to focus on staying safe and staying healthy.
At Capital GMC, we've taken steps to help customers who are buying, selling, and servicing vehicles.
It's time to shop online, test drive from home, or let us know if you need service work.
We'll pick up your vehicle and return it to you when it's fixed at no extra charge.
It's time to serve our community.
It's time to flatten the curve.
Join us online at capitalgmc.ca.
Stay safe.
Be kind to each other.
And wash your hands.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it. And when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards. They're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.